Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this time we want you to get your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 7. Now what we're going to do this morning, since this is a Monday morning, we're going to have the special feature of this program where we read from the Rock Cliff Review. And this is a sermon that came from Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23, in which Christ list 12 defiling sins. Let me read you the text, and then I'll read from the Rock Cliff Review, and you'll see what we're talking about. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 14 we read, "And he called unto him the multitude again, and said unto them, Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing from without the man that goeth into him that can defile him. But the things which proceed out of the man are those that defile the man. And when he was entered into the house from the multitude, his disciples asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Perceive ye not that whatsoever goeth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it goeth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught. This he said, making all meats clean. And he said, That which proceedeth out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." Well, the sermon preached that morning at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff was a sermon titled 12 Defiling Sins. And it went something like this. Sin may not seem so bad in the abstract. The preacher can be expected to be against it, just so long as he's not specific. Jesus got specific. In Mark 7:21 through 22, he named 12 sins that proceed from the heart with evil thoughts. Jesus had been confronted by the Pharisees because some of his disciples ate with unwashed hands, according to their traditions. This put them at the risk of being ritually unclean. Jesus confronted them back. "Well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites?" Mark 7 and verse 6. They were hypocrites because they were more concerned about the things being ceremonially purified according to their traditions than they were about the souls being morally defiled under God's law. Jesus turned to the people and said, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering in him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Mark 7, 14 through 16. Well, Jesus was not talking about physical disease. We all know that we can eat things that can make us sick. Neither is this an absolute commandment. There were dietary restrictions under the law for the Jews, and to violate them would be to sin. Neither was Jesus justifying drug abuse through smoking, drinking, or injections. "Hearken and understand," Jesus said. In contrast, Jesus is contrasting outward compliance with the Pharisaical traditions with obedience to God from the heart. Jesus further explained to his disciples, "Whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats." And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." Mark 7:18 through 20. Often the physical belly is better at purging bad food than the spiritual heart is at purging bad thoughts. These 12 defiling sins follow. evil thoughts. I'm reminded of James 1, 14 through 15. It is here that James says, each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin, and sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. These 12 defiling sins are as follows. Number 1, adulteries. God's plan has always been one man and one woman for life. Deviating from this produces many sorrows. Number 2, fornications. Those who say Jesus never said homosexuality was a sin need to consider fornications in the light of Jude 7, because that was the sin they were condemned of in Sodom, and there it is called fornication. Number 3, murders. Not all taking of human life is murder, but the unjustified, unlawful taking of human life is. Number 4, theft. Taking for your own that which belongs to another. Number 5, covetousness. You know, some sins seem naturally sinful, but Paul said he had not known lust except the law had said, Romans 7:7, thou shalt not covet. Number 6, wickedness. That's a general term for malicious intent. Number 7, deceit, dishonesty in lying, subtlety and craft, trickery and guile. Number 8, lasciviousness. Those are acts of wantonness and shamelessness, like that of drunkards at a dance. Number 9, an evil eye, that is looking upon another with malicious envy. Number 10, blasphemy, speaking against another who should be honored, and especially speaking against God. Number 11, pride. You see, a proud look is one of the things God hates, Proverbs 6:17. Pride goeth before destruction, Proverbs 16:18. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Number 12, foolishness. In wisdom literature, foolishness is failing to acknowledge God. In the New Testament, the word often conveys the idea of thoughtlessness and recklessness. We are admonished to be sober-minded. Material things ceremonially defiled were to be ceremonially purified, hence the various washings of the scribes and Pharisees, Mark 7:4. The spiritually defiled also need a washing. However, this baptism is not for the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the response of a good conscience toward God, 1 Peter 3:21. It is not the water of baptism itself that saves. It is God who saves. When we're baptized in water, as our hearts are purified by faith, Acts 15:9, so also our souls are purified in obeying the truth, 1 Peter 1:22. And thus was the sermon that morning of the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Now we read from the Rock Cliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this radio Bible school, we have been studying the life of Christ. And we talked about that time that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, He's talking about that men would come to him being lifted up. We're looking at John 3, verses 14 and 15. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him may have eternal life. And in a previous program, we were relating that Old Testament history of the serpents that came among the complaining children of Israel in the wilderness and bit them so that they died. But God told Moses to make a brazen serpent, set it on a standard, and those that would go to look upon the serpent would be healed and would not die. That going and looking on that serpent was an act of faith. And that's why Jesus said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth may have in him everlasting life. You know, the children of Israel were so foolish. And in 2 Kings chapter 18, we learn that they had turned that brazen serpent into an idol for them to worship. And thus that brazen serpent, that pole with the brazen serpent, was destroyed. Now, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, we read this ever popular passage. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This verse declares the great love God manifested in the gift of his Son for the world under the condemnation of sin. It sets forth, number one, what God has done to save the world. Number two, what Jesus has done to save the world. And number three, what the world must do to be saved. God so loved the world to give his Son. The Son loved the world as to come and die. And all must believe in Christ with faith, which works through love. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. And which is made perfect through obedience. James 2 verses 14 through 26. We read in John 3 and verse 17. For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. God did not send his Son to condemn, but to save the world. God does not hate. He loves the world and sent his Son to save the world. Jesus did not come to hunt up all the sins of the world, to sum them all up and to prosecute and condemn the world. He knew the world was condemned already, and he came to call sinners to repentance and to seek and to save the lost. He that believeth not has been judged already, and Jesus brings the way of salvation. He that believeth on him is not judged or condemned. Now, verses 18 through 21 of John chapter 3 shows that the faith Jesus was speaking of was an active, obedient faith. He that believeth on him is not judged. And he that believeth hath not been judged already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought of God. Notice, it's not just believing the truth, it is doing the truth. He that doeth the truth. And notice this last verse. It says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The faith of John 3:16 is a believing, obeying faith.